This is a new voice for a new Scotland.
Morning, folks. The review of the week will start on Monday, the 21st of September. All right. COVID's front and centre on everybody's mind. Transmission rate is on the rise. And the UK government raised the COVID alert rate from 3 to 4. Right, there are 5 stages at the COVID UK level COVID alert rate alert system. 1, green, nay COVID, no COVID around, all's well, no social distancing. 2, the number of cases are low, minimal social distancing. 3, virus is circulating, social distancing to be observed but laxed. Okay. 4, rising level of transmission, enforced social distancing. And 5, red, a material chance of health services being overwhelmed, extreme social distance measures kept in place. All right. So that's the 5 levels of alert in the UK alert system. And at the moment, we are at number 4. All right. So enforced social distancing. Down in England, it's still a bit confused, 1 metre plus. Up here in Scotland, we've always stuck to the 2 metres. So a wee bit easier for everybody to understand. All right. Moving on, Monday, some of the UK cabinet want a short, sharp lockdown for 2 to 3 weeks to quash the virus. The Chancellor, Rishi Sunak, wants the economy up and running. Sunak wins. Nay short, sharp lockdown. Okay. Jean Fearon, Scotland's Health Secretary, thinks COVID restrictions could last up to 6 months. Sir Patrick Vallance, the UK's top scientific advisor, thinks if the brakes are not put on the spread of this virus at the moment, then by mid-October we could see 50,000 plus cases a day. All right. In related matter to the COVID, the test and trace regime, it's been speculated that the UK government are harvesting everybody's DNA from the test kits that are going to the Lighthouse labs. Now, the UK government denies it. It says there's no legislation in place to allow them to do it. But, hey, you know, with this government, David says, just because there's no law to allow it, doesn't mean the government's not doing it, right? So speculation is that the UK government is harvesting everybody's DNA at the Lighthouse labs as the tests are being put through the labs. Monday, the Westminster government scraps the existing rails franchise system. Okay, just bins it. The companies that are in place will stay in place even if their franchise is up for renewal. Okay. Now, there's a support scheme that's being put in place to help the rail operators, the train operators, because, let's face it, there's a very low level of passenger numbers at this point in time. So far, the scheme has cost $3.5 billion to the public purse, but that's going to really rise because this extension or this rescue scheme for the train operators is to run another 18 months. Right? So, train operators, which are in private hands, are getting bailed out big style by the public purse because of COVID. Okay, moving on. Monday, Sir Keir Starmer to take Labour to full-on British nationalist state. Okay, no more international solidarity. Labour in the UK will now be an inward-looking petty little party. Right? So, all the principles of socialism get the windy to be replaced by British patriotism. All right? Sir Keir says he's really proud of the country, but we don't know what bloody country he's talking about because the UK is not a country, it's a union. So he's proud of the country. What bloody country is he talking about? Why doesn't he just say England? Right? Sir Keir's speech will kill half Scottish Labour altogether. They're already a zombie party. They haven't laid down their own indeed. Right? But that's going to kill half the party. Going full-on British nationalist, it's going to kill it off because 42% of Labour supporters in Scotland, or Romanian Labour supporters in Scotland, are pro-independence. And, of course, a stooshy starts right away. A stooshy gets underway right away with a left wing here in Scotland, not chuffed at all with what Sir Keir has announced. All right. Monday, Whitbread announces it's to shed 6,000 jobs and it's a Holiday Inn outlets and it's a beef eater eateries. Whitbread, that runs the hotel chain and the eateries, say that occupation rates in the hotels are down 50% and that the eateries are customers in the eateries are down by 30%. So they're laying off 6,000 jobs And as the week goes on, the news on the job front doesn't get any better. Monday, it's announced by the property firm that owns Graving Docks in Govan that it's going to renovate the docks and put them back into use. Okay. Which is quite good news when we're talking about jobs, because we're in the middle of a recession, going into a depression. So the announcement that there'll be work to renovate the Graving Docks in Govan is good news. Now, the docks are being renovated as part of a rejuvenation package for that particular stretch of the Clyde Corridor for the BBC and the Science Centre up in Govan Close. Anyway, Peter Breesling of Marine Project Scotland says, after an inspection, the docks are in pretty good nick. The dock walls are in good condition, the gates are in good condition, and the culverts just need cleaned out. So they're hoping to put the docks back into work as a yard for the renovating and repairing vintage sailing vessels and vintage boats. All right, so that's the plan for Graving Docks. So that's good news on Monday. A wee bit of employment in the Govan area in Glasgow and the regeneration of that area around about the Graving Docks, because it's a bit of a mess down there at the moment. So Monday, Scottish Grocers Federation are asking for more police protection. Apparently, people when they're asking people who are entering their shops to put masks on, they're being abused and threatened. That's just unacceptable behaviour. The corner shop, especially in the middle of the pandemic, has been the keystone of communities. The idea that people in the communities are going in there and giving their owners and their shop assistants a hard time rather than putting a mask on for the few minutes you nip into the corner shop, you pick up your newspaper, your pint of milk, your loaf, or your packet of cigarettes or whatever it is you're in there for. You know, unbelievable. People need to get a grip. Monday, the Internal Market Bill starts its second reading in the Commons. It was stunningly startling to watch one Tory MP after another stand up to defend this bill, a bill that's going to break international law, it's going to break the Good Friday Treaty, it's going to break the withdrawal agreement, and it's going to break the Treaty of Union. To watch Tory after Tory after Tory legislators, remember that Parliament is the highest legislator in the land of England, and the highest legislator in the United Kingdom, to watch members of Parliament stand up one after another to condone breaking the law was bloody stunning to watch. Now, no other Tories were against it, or the opposition were against the idea of breaching international law. There were some fantastic speeches given by the opposition MPs and the Tories that are against it, most notably the previous Prime Minister, Theresa May. Theresa May gave a blinding speech. You should go back and look at it. It's absolutely wonderful. And she laid out how this was going to stop the UK from making progress in international treaties because it would make the UK a bad faith actor, as I think is the word she used, a bad faith actor. Right? Now, there were other blinding speeches in there and all. Joanne Cherries was brilliant, and Alistair Carmichael of the Liberal Democrats was absolutely stunning as well. He looked as if he was ready for coming out of Burning Bridge back to Scotland and never going back. He made it clear, this runs roughshod over the devolution settlement and it runs roughshod over international law. He also pointed out, why the hell should Scotland pay any attention to what Westminster says when it's a bad faith actor? So if Westminster's going to break the law, why should Scotland need a Section 30 order? Isn't the bloody need one anyway? Bloody ridiculous that you're asking somebody else permission to make a mind up about your own future. Stupid notion. Right, Tuesday, the 22nd of September. Tuesday starts on speculation over lockdown changes that could happen after the Cobra meeting. Right, PM Bojo the Clown is forced into this meeting. Forced into this meeting because the First Ministers of Wales and Scotland and Northern Ireland made it public that they had absolutely no contact with the PM for months, and there hadn't been a Cobra meeting for months. So Bojo was forced into convening a Cobra meeting and getting the First Ministers from Wales, Northern Ireland and Scotland involved. All right. The morning starts off with speculation on what changes could be coming. Right. Tuesday, it's announced that Ken McIntosh, the presiding officer of the Scottish Parliament, is to stand down at the end of the parliamentary term. Mr. McIntosh is not seeking re-selection for next year's Scottish general election. Mr. McIntosh has served in the Hall of Parliament since it opened just there 21 years ago. Mr. McIntosh said the Scottish Parliament had came a long way in 21 short years and had did a lot for the Scottish people, and the Parliament itself had grown in confidence. But he's bailing out. He says he's going to continue to support Scottish democracy, but he's bailing out knowing that Scottish democracy is about to be trampled over. And we'll get to that a wee bit further down the week, folks. Okay. Tuesday, it's supported at the Port of Dover. Our mainstream media didn't pick up on this Wednesday, by the way. Nuts. Tuesday, it's supported at the Port of Dover. There's not Brexit ready. Head of Exit in the EU at the port, Tim Riordan, says the port has received no funding from the UK government to get itself ready. He also goes on to say that the scheme where ports can apply for funding doesn't start until the end of September, end of next week. 3 months out, and the ports right around these islands haven't been able to access funds to get ready for what's about to happen. You couldn't make it up, man. Also Tuesday, it's discovered that the UK government to introduce a Kent access passport for heavy goods vehicles. Right? Now, if you want to get the Eurotunnel, if you're a hauler and you want to get the Eurotunnel, you want to get the Port of Dover, then you've got to have a Kent approved passport for the UK government to get into Kent. They're going to put controls up to stop vehicles getting in and out of Kent. They're talking about electronic vehicle recognition, but that's not going to work. It's not going to work. So anyway, it's discovered that Kent is about to be having an internal border in it. Vehicles going in are going to need a Kent approved passport, and vehicles coming back out after they've been to Ebfleet for a customs checks will need a pass to get back out of Kent to get to other parts of the UK. So Kent has basically been annexed by the EU and is going to become a big customs zone. All right. I wonder how the people in Kent feel about it. So there you go. Who would have thought it? Kent, an independent state before Scotland. Unbelievable. Tuesday, Ipsos Morning Poll puts the SNP at 60% for next year's election. Right. Now, I don't believe this for a second. I'm starting to get a wee bit suspicious with these polls. Because as we know, when a party's polling so high, then a lot of their activists don't think they have to do anything, and a lot of their voters don't bother going to the polls. They vote because they think, well, they'll no miss one vote, they'll get that many, they'll get that such a big deal leading the polls. So folks, we need to keep an eye on this, and we need to stay on my briefs here. Activists, stay active, and let's make sure we get everybody out to the polls next year if the Scottish election takes place. And that's a big if at this time. Right, Tuesday, the Cobra meeting ends at 12 noon. Right, 12:20, Bojo the Clown addresses Westminster to inform the Parliament and the people of England the changes and restrictions that are going to happen down there. Okay, he announces councils and special measures will have troops available to enforce local lockdowns, putting troops on the streets, right? He also doubles the fines for people flouting COVID rules, like no putting masks on if you don't have an exemption and enclosed public places and things like that, right? So he's doubled that for first-time offences from £100 to £200. He's also upped, there's fines there in England, if you don't self-isolate when told to, the fine's up to £10,000, that's the ceiling, £10,000, okay? Right, so if you don't self-isolate, you're fined £10,000. Bojo opts for the stick approach down there in England, right? To beat the English into behaving and following these rules. Now, I can understand why he feels he has to do that, because his shambolic government have not kept the people of England well informed. They haven't given them clear guidance. And more importantly, Bojo's cabinet, his advisors, and his MPs won't put on face masks in enclosed public spaces. They won't keep to social distancing. We've all seen the pictures in the Parliament. And this morning, actually, Sammy Wilson of the DUP has been snapped on a bus in London when he faced mask on reading the papers. Although, as I say, he's a DUP. But we've had Michael Gove, when face coverings were introduced, walk into a sandwich shop, no face coverings. We've had various Tory MPs being photographed standing right next to each other, no social distancing. And he, as I say, him with Dominic Cummins breaking the lockdown rules when we were in full lockdown to take her on to Durham. So the people in England, they're just looking at the politicians and saying, why the hell should we do it? You don't. One rule for you and one for us. So Bojo's having to take a stick to the people of England. For threats of fines, military on the streets, police on the streets, you know, he's had to take a stick. All right. The First Minister, Nicola Sturgeon, addresses Holyrood at 14:20 p.m. Right, she also announces, Bojo also announces pubs to shut at 10 o'clock. I forgot about that. First Minister up here in Scotland also announces pubs to close at 10 o'clock. Right? She imposes a Scotland-wide lockdown measure of no one to visit each other in each other's homes, with exemptions for childcare, couples who don't cohabitate, carers, and tradespeople. Right? They can still go out and fix your boiler or your washing machine or whatever it is if it goes in a bum. Right? Now, the First Minister explains the measures that are put in place. Oh, no more than six people for two households to meet up outside, and the exemptions for children. But as I say, no home visits. So anyway, the First Minister goes through it, the changes with the members of the Scottish Parliament, and later that day, she takes to the airwaves in the evening to implore the Scottish people to abide by the rules. Nae stick, carrot. Right? Bojo, I meant to say, Bojo's put the lockdown measures in England in place for 6 months. Right? First Minister up here has no gone with a stick, she's gone with a carrot. So she goes on and humbly addresses the people of Scotland, thanks them for all their efforts that they've put in so far, apologises for having to extend the measures again and put us into a tighter lockdown, and asks us with humility and humanity to look after each other, abide by the rules, and we'll get through this. She also states that the new measures will be reviewed every 3 weeks. So, down the road, Bojo's getting the military out and big fines get to get slapped about. Oh, he's also introducing something called COVID wardens. People walk about and snitch on people and issue fines to them. So Bojo's got his COVID wardens, military on the streets, huge fines. You know, he's having to take a stick to people in England. Up here, it's the other way round. And that's the big difference between what's going on down that road and what's going on up here. The First Minister has been there day in, day out to give us clear, concise messages and to protect the population. Well, Bojo, he scrapped his briefings and everything. He just wasn't paying attention down there, didn't care at all. Right? So that becomes a talking point on Wednesday, by the way, the two different approaches. So the First Minister pleads with the people and asks them to abide by the rules. Bojo threatens them with the army and big fines. Shows you the difference, doesn't it? Right, moving on to Wednesday, the 23rd of September, 2020. Wednesday starts off on coronavirus again, but this time it's all the chat on the papers is about the new lockdown measures. Also on the radio phone-ins is about the new lockdown measures, okay? As I say, the main talk is on household visits being banned in Scotland, Wales and Northern Ireland, but no in England. And then we have Alistair Union Jack get his 2 minutes airtime to tell everybody in Scotland that the only reason why Nicola Sturgeon's no doing things the way England's doing it, because he thinks we should follow what England's doing, is because she can. No, for public health, just because she can be different, she's been different. Alistair Union Jack's a twit, a half-wit, she keep his gob shut, right? Wednesday morning, it's announced that 500 students at a Dundee University are in lockdown. By the end of Wednesday, we have 1,100 students around Scotland in lockdown. Maybe more, because there's outbreaks in Edinburgh, but I haven't heard the lockdown there. In Glasgow, two halls of residence go into lockdown as 170-odd students for the two halls of residence test positive. Okay? So, by the end of Wednesday, the university sector's already in trouble. So we just need to see how that goes. Wednesday, the mainstream media pick up on the carry-on at Kent and how Kent's been annexed, basically by the EU, to set up a customs control area. Well, actually, by Westminster to set up a customs control area. What is up with the mainstream media? Knew about this on Monday. Tell you about it on Tuesday. The mainstream media's just picking it up on Wednesday. Is this a deliberate delay for the mainstream media? Are there any journalists left out there? This is basic stuff. This should have been big news Monday and Tuesday. The story broke just after midnight on Monday. Just after midnight on Monday, this story broke. Mainstream media don't pick up on it on Wednesday. Anyway, the mainstream media picked up on the story about Kent, as we've just spoke about. Kent approved passports for vehicles to get in and out. Wednesday, the controversial hate crime bill was back and is under scrutiny in the Scottish Parliament, right? An amendment made to take out the unintentional firing up a hate speech or firing up a hate crimes to only people who intend to fan the flames of hate to be prosecuted under that bill, right? Now, I've sat here week in and week out and we'll talk about this bill and tell you all the same thing all the time. It's a crap piece of legislation. And I mean a crap piece of legislation. And he's tearing half the team. Go read it. Right, it's been published, it's on the Scottish Government website. It's a crap piece of legislation and he's taken off the table and he needs to sit down and start again with this piece of legislation. Now, the police, the faculty of advocates, the third sector, and the very people it's meant to protect all think this legislation's a bad idea and it could make things worse. It could also criminalise a bit of banter. You know, anyway, it's been amended. It's in the committee stage. Let's hope by the time it gets through the Parliament and gets chucked out the other side into law, it's a workable piece of legislation, right? Wednesday, the Westminster Bill that allows MI5 and police undercover units to commit crimes in the course of their duties passes into law. There's another bill there as well, as an amendment, as an attachment to that one, and that is to exempt soldiers from war crimes, but I don't think that bit's made it so far. It's speculated on at the moment, or there's an extension to that law that's passed, as I say, to include soldiers, but we'll see where that goes. All right, but you think about that. MI5 and police and police undercover teams can now legally, get this, legally commit illegal acts. What is it with this government and the law? They're already going after the judiciary. They're talking about breaking international law. Now they're giving the Secret Services the power to break bloody law and be exempt from it. And of course, there's a move of the Cabinet to take itself outside the law under Section 45(2) of the Internal Market Bill. This is unbelievable stuff that's coming out in that road. It's like a wild bloody west. Wednesday, it's announced that Scotland's block grant will be adjusted by £309 million to correct the mistake that was made in 2017-2018 accounts, right? Not going to make much difference, because later on Wednesday, we'll get there in a minute. All right, Wednesday, Prime Minister's questions is on. Starmer went on England's broken test and trace system and extended furlough. Bojo has stopped saying world beaten now, it's Europe beaten track and trace system. They've gone down there and they've tested more people than anybody else in Europe. And, of course, he promises action on jobs, okay? Says the Chancellor's concentrating on saving jobs. We'll get to that in the Thursday section. Right, Ian Blackford, he went on furlough, stating that 61,000 jobs, Scottish jobs, were at risk. Bojo claimed that him and his government had put their arms around UK workers and gave them a big hug throughout this period. Right? Tell that to the 700,000 plus that lost their jobs already, right? Anyway, Bojo and Blackford have a laugh. Ian Blackford's performance was a wee bit better this week. A wee bit better. Wednesday, it's announced that the Chancellor, Rishi Sunak, will not be setting a budget. So the £309 million we were just talking about coming out of the Scottish grant, out of the Scottish block grant, which isn't a block grant, of course, it's just a return of some of our own money. But anyway, there won't be a budget. No budget. That means the devolved administrations don't know what money they're getting, if they're getting any. Remember, Section 46 of the Internal Market Bill lets Westminster bypass the devolved parliaments and fund councils and public services themselves. So it could well be that next year there isn't a Scottish Parliament because the Scottish Parliament will be forced to dissolve itself. because it won't have any funds. It won't be able to function. Westminster will have circumnavigated that Parliament, and because come April next year, when there's no money coming in for Westminster, can't he run a Parliament? Just to think about that. The election's in May. The Parliament runs out of money in April. So this isn't looking very good, folks. So Rishi Sunak's not putting a budget. You know, last year, the budget was late, but they knew it was coming, so the Scottish, the Welsh and the Northern Irish could speculate at least on what they were going to get. There's no guarantee there's going to be a budget this time. And see, that Parliament could run out of money next April. So no budget for Sunak. Right, moving on to Thursday. The day starts on COVID again. This time it's on universities. And the universities opening up and the rise of infections. The rise in infections because of it. Okay. Thursday, Nicholas Sturgeon writes to Prime Minister Boris Johnson, the clown, to state that tougher COVID measures are needed and more support for business is needed. And, of course, she wants fiscal powers for Scottish Parliament. No getting it. No even getting a budget. Right? Bojo will ignore her and will ignore the other devolved leaders. They're not interested in devolution. Not in the slightest. Thursday, it's announced the Queen's to get a £300 million bailout from the public purse. So the Queen's to get a £300 million bailout from the public purse because her investments have been done due to the downturn caused by COVID. So Scotland, if it was to have a budget, was £309 million, and the Queen gets a grant of £300 million. The poor, they get nothing. The poor get nothing. The hungry get nothing. Multi-billionaire gets 300 million quid. Starving kids get bugger all. Nothing. There is something morally wrong in that cesspit down there. Something morally wrong in that cesspit that they call a parliament down that road. Thursday, Sunak announces his latest scheme to help businesses and save jobs. He starts his statement by saying the government can't save all businesses and all jobs. So some businesses will be allowed to go to the law. Now, there's a scheme going to be put in place for what he's calling viable businesses. I don't know who decides which viable and which no, but there's going to be a scheme put in place for viable businesses where part-time workers, workers on short hours because of COVID, the government will contribute. They expect the employers to pay for the hours they work, and the government will contribute another slice of money to get their wages up to 77% of a full week's wage or a full month's wage. Okay, so you're going to be a third short on your normal salary. The government's going to throw in a third. Right, just about. So they say, actually, it's less than a third. The employer and the government are going to split the amount of money it takes to get you up to 77% of your normal salary. But it's going to be harder on the employer than it is on the government because the employer's going to pay tax and national insurance. The government is no. So when you take that, what's being returned to the government, everything the government's throwing its slice in, Rishi Sunak's offering businesses that are viable, about 8% help with salaries. He's saying he's putting in 30% of the people's salary, but you know, he's putting in 8. Okay, so that's a dead duck. Sunak announces mass unemployment in Parliament is what the headline should be. Right? He just basically went in there and said only viable businesses. What's a viable business? Who decides what's a viable business? This is a con. And mass unemployment's coming down the line because of it. Okay. Right. Thursday, we had First Minister's questions. Another quite tame affair. Nicola was on her game. Nobody else seemed to be. Right, Ruthie Tank Commander went on testing in universities. The First Minister tell her, look, this is hard gone. We're relying on the UK government for some of this stuff, and they're a bloody shambles. And then the halls of residences, well, people haven't known. They're living in each other's pockets in these places. You know. Richard too went on universities again. She talks to him like she always talked to him, but she talked to her bloody Wayne. But no slaps, no scalping the bottom, no sent after the naughty step. All right. Patrick Harvey, he went on universities and all, and they had a bit of discussion, quite heated, maybe heated for the A2. Actually, they normally have a nice wee talk. You expect them to get the tea and the biscuits out when the A2 are on. Right. Anyway, him and the First Minister has a chat, and they move on to Willy Rennie. And wee Willy Rennie went on, back to normal this week. Eyes glazed over, ears clogged up, didn't hear a bloody word they said. But who cares what wee Willy Rennie goes on anyway? Him and his four other MSPs are bloody irrelevant. Right, so, that was Thursday. Right, by the way, Thursday, FM asked the students to stay out of bars to try and help keep this under control. Let's hope the students act responsibly. Because all our major cities are university towns, you know. And there are thousands and thousands of students that come into our cities all the time, you know. So let's hope the students behave themselves, because if they don't, they are not going to feel this illness at all. If they continue to party and mix in the community and things like that when they're supposed to be isolating, oh, hell could break loose. Right? So they've been asked to stay out of the boozers. We'll see how that goes, asking an 18 to 21 year old to stay out of the boozer. They're only just getting into the boozers. They're curious. They want to see what happens in these places. They're in for a hell of a disappointment. Most of them are quiet, full of old men, propping up bars. Moving on to this morning, the 25th of the 9th, 2020, and what the papers say. Right, so the Scotsman goes on. Sunak, I can't save every business. I can't save every job. And we know. We watched your performance. It's on my timeline, actually, if you want to watch it. Watch your performance yesterday, Mr. Sunak. You were rubbish. You offered no support whatsoever. You just pulled a contract on the peoples. That's all. The peoples in the UK, you pulled a contract on them. That's what you did. Oh, I forgot to mention that Sunak had also extended loans, loan repayment times for businesses that have taken out government-backed loans. Well, all these businesses have gone to the wars anyway, so. Yeah, the loans are not getting paid, Mr. Government. You're getting a pound off every limited company, and that's your whack. Yeah, you're going to have to cough up treasury to the banks. Right, the Sun goes on. Water holes up. And it's on about the problems in the halls of residence in Glasgow and Dundee, and no doubt Aberdeen and Edinburgh will be right on their tails. Right, the Express goes on. Students told to stay out of pubs. We'll see how that goes. Telling a 21-year-old to stay out of the pub. You've been better shut in the pubs. The National goes on. Tourist industry facing mass unemployment is what the National's going on. Which is very true. Sunak did nothing yesterday to help anybody. Absolutely nothing. Right? So the National goes on. The crisis that's in leisure and tourism here in Scotland. And mass unemployment in that sector is on its road. The Telegraph goes on. Sunak, we need to face up to the hard choices. Well, you didn't, Mr. Chancellor. It's our money. You could have invested our money in us instead of stealing it and giving it to your pals. Right, the Daily Mail goes on. Rishi Sunak, now it's time to live without fear. Live without fear. His announcements in that Parliament yesterday put several million people in fear of losing their homes, of ending up bankrupt, or not being able to feed their family. So, Rishi Sunak saying now it's time to live without fear is nuts. The Herald goes on, Sunak's winter lifeline will only delay jobs cuts to 2021. What bloody lifeline? A scheme starting November is worth nothing to anybody. The record goes on, gangland boss sparked firebomb war from behind bars. And apparently, there's a gang war going on in the west of Scotland, and some crime boss, I haven't read the story, it's just a headline, and some crime boss that's banged up in prison has ordered a firebomb war. There you go. The Star, the Star, I love the Star. The Star goes on, Groundhog Day, right? And on the front page is a picture of a woman leaving the supermarket with a trolley that high and toilet roll. So apparently people are living in that much fear. They are buying lots and lots of lavy roll. So just stop the panic buying, folks. Hey, you're going to look stupid. Oh, I've seen that right enough. So come on, you might be able to sell it to other people if they're unsure. The Financial Times goes on. Sunak targets wage support. He can't save every job. That's where the Financial Times goes on. Now let's see what The Guardian had to say. The Guardian says Sunak warns of rising job losses. And the Mirror goes on, too little, too late. So, most of the papers, the serious papers of the day, go on Sunak and his announcement yesterday. His announcement yesterday amounted to nothing. Absolutely nothing. People can't live on 77% of their normal wage, or losing a third of their salaries. Sorry, losing a quarter of their salaries. Just below a quarter of their salaries. That's not going to keep the kids fed. It's not going to pay the mortgage. Commodity prices are all rising. What Sunak did yesterday was consign a lot of businesses to the law and consign millions of people to the unemployment line, to universal credit. That's not going to cover very much. More importantly, there's not going to be a tax base there to cover the costs of the amount of people who are going to be on the scrap heap. Now, we've spoken about this before. Margaret Thatcher had North Sea oil revenues. Unless Sunak changes the tax regime back to what it was before Osborne started giving the stuff away, then the UK is in big trouble. All right. So that's the review of the week, folks. I hope you enjoyed it. So look after yourselves. Look after each other. Stay safe. Doesn't matter whether you believe in this virus or no. Just follow facts. Face coverings in closed public spaces. Supermarkets, trains, buses, that sort of thing, libraries, that sort of thing. Avoid large gatherings, it's not a problem at this point in time, we're not allowed to gather. Clean hands and cold and surfaces regularly. 2 metres social distancing. And get a test if you've got symptoms, okay? Now look after yourself, stay safe. Bye now.
Have a nice day!
This is a new voice for a new Scotland.
And in life, God, radio.